Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and James chapter 2, and verse 8. Our last Sunday of our family month, and this whole month we've been talking about family, teaching about family, talked about forgiveness, we've talked about contentment. Today we're going to continue our series, Luke chapter 10, and behold, a certain lawyer. Everyone say, a lawyer. Some of you are already sighing. Ah, a lawyer. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Jesus said, what is written in the law? What do you read? In other words, Jesus said, I think you should open up your Bible and read for yourself. And he answering said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He answered correctly that we are to love in three directions. Everyone say three directions. Love God, love people, love ourselves. And he said, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, everyone say but. Kind of, but is the revolving door. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, some people may say, well, typical lawyer trying to find a loophole. Who exactly is my neighbor? Who do I have to love and who don't I have to love? Where can I love and where can I draw the line? I want to know exactly what I have to do. James chapter 2, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law, everyone say the royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Everyone say the royal law. I want to minister on this title, the royal law of love. The royal law of love. Can you all say that together? The royal law of love. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord God, I pray you'd anoint me to bring your word today. Anoint our ears to hear. Change us from the inside out, Lord God. Help us not to just hear, but to apply it to our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Love. Love. Love is being called the greatest subject known to man. People write poems about love. They make movies about love. They write songs about love. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Martin Luther said, and I say to you, I have also decided to stick with love. For I know that love is ultimately the answer to mankind's problems. Martin Luther said, I have decided to stick with love. The royal law of love. Now, as Christians, we see that word law, and we may have some questions because many would say, we are not under the law. And no, we don't live by the Old Testament laws. We are not bound to earn salvation by keeping ceremonies and dietary and separation, circumcision, holy days, eat this, don't eat this, mixed fibers. No, we're no longer under the law, all those ceremonial things. However, it is important to note that as Christians, we are not without God's law. We are not under the law, but we are not without God's law. Even Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21. He said, when I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law. So Paul said, I'm not under the law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. We are not under the law, but as Christians, we are not without the law. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God, keeping the law of God. And so when you study the law in the Old Testament, you can see that you can break the law down into three different categories: civil laws, laws that applied to society back then, like road rules and legislation and things like that, regulations, the civil laws. And then there were the ceremonial laws. These are all the ceremonies that people used to do for the cleansing of their sins, like sacrificing that lamb or that goat and bringing all those things. All of those ceremonial laws have all been done away with. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. None of you came to church today leading a little lamb or a goat or a turtle dove. You didn't come. There's no sacrifices here. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But there are also in the Old Testament moral laws. Everyone say moral laws. They are moral laws, and God's morals do not change. He is the same God then as he is now. He doesn't change his morals. And so many of the moral laws you will see repeated again in the New Testament. Even sometimes the bar is raised. We know the law, the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's repeated again in the New Testament when Jesus says, if a man look upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. Not just a physical thing, but something that can even happen in their head to lust. We tell you today, God's morals do not change. If he hated it in the Old Testament, he still hates it. If it's an abomination in the Old Testament, it is still an abomination. God's moral law still stands. So we know what Paul was saying when he said, I obey the law of Christ. He was not saying that he obeys all the ceremonial things. He was no longer doing all those ceremonial things. They're all negligible now. But he says, I am not without the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. Everyone say the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is the law of love. The royal law of love. Galatians chapter 2, this is a Bible study today, lots of verses. It says, bear one another's burdens. Everyone say, that's love. Okay, we don't like the sound of that this morning, do we? Bear one another's burdens. That is love. It says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 5 verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, love God with all and love your neighbor as yourself. And so even those 10 commandments that we have, the first four have to do with loving God. And the last six have to do with loving others. Love God and love people. And so Jesus said, a new commandment. Everyone say, a new commandment. I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, everyone say by this, by our love for others, shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you are the real deal, that you are a true Christian. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if, everyone say if. The condition is not if you go to church, not if you read your Bible, not if you can speak Christianese. No, if you have love one to another. I have to ask myself, and I think we all have to ask ourselves, do we know, or do we really know what love is? Do we really know? The dictionary says about love, it is an intense affection for another person based on family ties or personal ties. It is an intense affection based on family or personal ties. And the bit that got me, that makes me think that we don't really truly understand love in this world, is that the dictionary says that love is based on something. Family ties or personal ties. In other words, we say that we love other people because of a condition, because of how they make us feel, based on something. That's what the world thinks love is. Love is more than just being based on how somebody makes you feel. When the Lord called Israel, he gave Moses some words to speak to Israel. In Deuteronomy 2 verse 7 it says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people." He said the Lord's love for you was not based on anything, on any of your greatness or because of what you had done, for you were the fewest of all people. But why did God love you? Verse 8 says, just because the Lord loves you. So don't try to think, why does God love me? What is it based on? No, he loves you because he loves you. Because God is love. It is part of his nature. He doesn't love you when you're good and hate you when you're bad. He is love. Everyone say, God is love. And so the challenge, and this is very confronting, is that we are called as Christians to love others as Jesus loves us. The question is, how did Jesus love us? Did he love us because we made him feel good? No. He agape'd us. Everyone say agape. That is agape love. Agape love, the love that God has for us, is not based on anything. The love that God has for us is unconditional. For God so loved that he gave, unconditional and sacrificial. That is how God loves us. And so hopefully you're putting one and one together now and saying, well, we are told to love others as God loves us. And so we must also love others unconditionally and sacrificially. No conditions. It's not based on how somebody makes us feel. Unconditionally and sacrificially. And everybody says, well, Pastor, that's just impossible. And let me tell you, it is exactly that if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. In our flesh, we cannot love like that. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the nature of God inside of you. You have God inside of you. And this agape love is part of our born-again identity. You see, when you are born again, you are born with a new identity. A lot of people like to say, but I was born this way. My answer to that is, that's why you got to be born again. A new identity, a new, we are new people, new creatures. And so we can only love like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, the royal law of love. Now, here is something that I think a lot of us struggle with. We often confuse the word love with like. Everyone say like. Like. There are some people you like. Hopefully, there's not too many people you don't like. But the reality is we like some and we don't like others. Like, to like somebody means that there is some emotional attachment to it. There is some emotional attachment. And so when we say love one another, you're thinking, well, I don't know about that, because we get confused between love and like, and we think, I got no emotional attachment to this person. They don't do anything for me. They're just not feeling it, Pastor. The reason why is because we mix up like with love. Biblical love, everyone say biblical love. It does not start with emotion. It doesn't start with emotion. Do you think that Jesus went to the cross because he got all emotional about us? I don't think so. Biblical love does not start with emotion. It starts with a decision. Everyone say a decision. And that's why God can command us to love. Because love is not an emotional decision. It's not an emotional attachment. Love is not liking somebody. That's why God can command you to love somebody, because love is not liking. It's not an emotional thing. Love is a decision. Biblical love does not start with emotion. Biblical love can and may include emotion. But biblical love is a decision. It doesn't have to be an emotion. You can love somebody. Let me tell you today. You can love somebody without liking them. You get what I'm talking about today? You can love somebody without liking them. You don't have, just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to go on holidays with them all the time. Doesn't mean you have to see them all the time. You can love somebody without liking them, because God is saying, I want you to love one another. I want you to make a decision to love. He's not telling us that we need to feel good about everybody. He's not telling us that we have to feel good about somebody that hates us. He's not telling us that we need to feel good about somebody that's going around talking about us. But he's saying, in spite of all of that, make a decision to love. And so what is love? Love is a decision to show compassion. Love is a decision to act righteously. Love is a decision to sacrifice. You see, the love is that decision to meet the need of somebody else. It's a decision. Everyone say a decision. And that's why God can command it. Once the decision is made, once the action is taken, love has been expressed. But the reality is, if we're going to love, we want the feelings. We want to like what we love, but it's not always possible. Love is a decision. It is a decision. Love requires us to make a decision, and to make a decision to act godly, to make a decision to act righteously, to make a decision to act compassionately, to make a decision to sacrifice our own because we want to see somebody else's needs met. That is love. Everyone say love. A lot of people mix up like and love. Love requires more than just words. I'm reminded of that when I was a child. When I was in trouble, I'd say, I love you, Mom. And she'd say, well, actions speak louder than words. I was just trying to get out of trouble. And so she'd tell me, well, show me by doing what you're told. Jesus said the same thing. If you obey my commandments. 1 John 3 verse 16 says, hereby we perceive the love of God. This is how we can know the love of God. Because He did something. He acted. It was more than just words. He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we know God's love, not because of His words, but because of His actions. Love is not just something you say. Love is something that you do. Love is honoring one another. Everyone say honor. Love is refusing to grumble against somebody else. You make the decision. I really feel like grumbling, but I'm not going to. Love is accepting one another. Love is showing humility, being clothed with humility towards one another. Love is being quick to listen and slow to speak. I could give you a whole lot of scriptures for this. Love is being kind and compassionate. Love is offering hospitality to someone. Love is taking the opportunity to be good to somebody. Love is the opportunity to humble yourself and let someone else go first. Love is being gentle. Love is being patient. Love is not provoking someone to envy. Love is serving others. Everyone say that's love. And so the Bible tells us to love one another. That is agape love. To show the love others as God has loved us. And that is impossible in the flesh, but it is possible through our born-again identity. With every command, there is a promise. With every command, there is a promise. The Bible says that he promises us the Holy Spirit if we ask. He says, would you give your children a scorpion if they ask for bread? Would you give them all of these things? He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so with every commandment, there is a promise. Here's another verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, everyone say the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. How is the love of God shed abroad? In our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You're not just given the Holy Spirit so you can speak in tongues, feel goosebumps and all those sort of things. The Holy Spirit is there to be a shedder of love, so that you can shed the nature of God, the love of God to other people. So let me tell you, if you're finding it hard to love, if you're finding it hard to make that decision to love, maybe you need to get a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to get a fresh touch of God and say, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I don't want my flesh to get in the way. I want to be filled with your Spirit. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if. Everyone say, if. You got, that's how people are going to see the church and know that we're real, is because of the way we love. That's how people in your workplace are going to see Jesus, because they're going to say, you got every reason to just turn your back and be cruel to that person, but instead, you decided to love. It's not that you like that person, but you made a decision to turn up the work and say, you know what? I'm just going to show love. I'm going to be kind and compassionate. I'm going to be patient. And other people who are non-Christians are going to look at you and say, there's something about you that's a little bit strange. There's something about you that's a little bit good. Because I can see the way you're handling this. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. You see, it's hard in the flesh to love others. But as disciples of Jesus, we can be an example to the world. In Ephesians 3 verse 17, it says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. A lot of people wish that verse said this. A lot of people think this verse means rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Now, the Word of God's important. You got to be rooted and grounded in it. Yes, you got to have your foundation of your life built on the Word of God. Some people may say that being rooted and grounded in prayer. Prayer is important. Rooted and grounded in doctrine, and doctrine's important. But before any of those things, rooted and grounded in love. I've seen people that are rooted and grounded in the Word, but not rooted and grounded in love. And they're what we call Bible bashers, because they love to share the Word, but they haven't got the love sorted out yet. They want to tell you what the Word of God says and show you where you've gone wrong, but they haven't got love. That's why the most important thing is that first and foremost, you are rooted and grounded in love. And so my question today is, how loving are you? I'm not asking you how loving you are to the people you like. I'm asking, how loving are you? And this is what this lawyer said. He said, who exactly is my neighbor? Because I can think of a whole lot of people that I don't want to love. And I'd like to get a ruling. I'd like to get some precedent here. I'd like to go back to the law and find exactly who I can just write off and still be right with God. And so Jesus didn't really answer his question, but Jesus went straight into a story. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And we read a little bit about it, and Jesus told him, he said, there was this Samaritan. And this Jewish lawyer's thinking, oh, the bad guy. See, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They hated each other. Jesus begins to tell this Jewish lawyer about a Good Samaritan. And he's thinking, I've never even heard of such a person. And he said, and he found this man who had been beaten up. It says he was left half dead. I'll let you doctors decide what that definition of half dead means. But this, first of all, a priest goes by. He didn't do anything. A Levite goes by. He didn't go anything. But then the Samaritan, the one that this Jewish lawyer would have least have expected to do anything. And he goes, he binds up his wounds, he pours oil and wine, he takes him somewhere to be looked after. He says to the person looking after, he says, listen, if it costs you anything, I'll be back and I'll cover it all. And then Jesus says, which now of these, Mr. Lawyer, which now of these was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Who was the neighbor? Who came to help? And exactly what this is teaching us, and it still teaches us today. We need to set aside our prejudice. Everyone say prejudice. We need to set aside our prejudice and show love and compassion to others. Because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. It doesn't matter who they are. Set aside your prejudice and show them the love of God. It doesn't matter if they're Christian or not. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Let me tell you what Jesus was telling us. Our neighbor is anybody that we meet along the road of life. Anyone that you meet along the road of life, regardless of their identity, regardless of their present condition, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what they've done, our neighbor is anybody that you meet along the road of life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as I have loved you. You see, the lawyer is trying to find a loophole. In fact, Jesus also found it hard. Jesus was fully God and fully man. And we see him praying in the garden. He's praying. Why? Because he's also man. He's flesh and he's divine at the same time. And he's getting ready to go to the cross. And Jesus says, if it be your will, I don't want to do this. He said, it's cost too much. This is what Jesus was saying. Let this cup pass from me. He's saying, it costs too much to love these people. That's what Jesus was saying. If I can get out of this, I would. It costs too much to love these people. But then Jesus prayed a prayer. But not my will, but thine be done. And I believe God is speaking to somebody today because you're sitting here and saying, Pastor, it costs too much to love these people. Let me tell you, the next word that should come out of your mouth is, not my will, God, but yours be done. I want to love like you love. I want to be a shedder of love. I want your Holy Spirit to work inside of me that the love of God may be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Think about Jesus at the Last Supper. He's sitting at the table. He knew that there would be those that would betray him. What did Jesus do? He got down and he showed them love. He took a towel and he began to wash their feet. You see, Jesus was there and he's showing them. He says, you know what? You're sitting around this table, all pious. You're sitting around this table. You all thought you were too good. And he said, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to show you how to reach the world. I'm going to show you how to fulfill the Great Commission. You got to be ready to have the ministry of the towel. You got to get ready to love people sacrificially, unconditionally. You got to get ready as Christians to humble yourself. You see, let me say this, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But it's much easier to act like a Christian than it is to react like a Christian. Can I say that again? Just to make it doubly worse. It's much easier to act like a Christian than to react like a Christian. Be careful of your reactions. Love. We are called to love. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. Everyone say fruitful. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, there's nine of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Hope you're doing a little checklist and all these things are in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. You know, a lot of Christians, they love to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, the gift of faith. That we talk about all these powerful things, but we often forget the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Because by love shall all men know that you are my disciples. Joy, peace, there's power in the fruit of the Spirit. And as Pentecostal Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, there ought to be fruit in our life. Every now and then you ought to look at yourself and give yourself a fruit inspection. Don't look at the way you act. Very often you get to see the real fruit in the way you react. You know, when you're walking around with a glass of water, nobody really knows what's in the glass or a cup of water, unless it's a clear glass, but you got a cup of water, no one can see what's inside of it until you're walking with that water, Brother Josh, and someone comes and bumps you. And you know what happens? Something spills out. Then you know what's in there. Very often we don't really know what's in here until we get bumped in the road of life. And we see our reaction and we think, oh my goodness, I got to pray. I got to go and find a place of prayer. I got to go find somewhere to get right with God because I didn't like the way I reacted. Let me tell you, there is power in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I'm talking about love today. So I get ready to finish. The musicians could come. I want to tell you a story, and I told this to our leaders a few weeks ago. Brother Nathaniel Urshan, about 60 years ago, Brother Nathaniel Urshan was a great preacher. Some of you may know him and heard of him. But one day, Brother Urshan was walking through an international airport, and he came across a lady. This is 60 years ago. He came across a lady who was weeping, and she was so distressed. She was crying. And as he was busy about his schedule and doing what he needed to do, he sees this lady. He noticed her weeping. He noticed that she was visibly distressed. And he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to do something. And so what did he do? He went up to this lady who was distressed. He said, I notice that you're very distressed. Can I please help you? Can I please help you? I can see your tears. I can see your distress. Can I please help you? She said she needed help. She said, I am the Ethiopian ambassador's wife. I've never been out of Ethiopia. I've never been to the USA. I am lost in this airport. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get help. I feel completely overwhelmed. She said, I'm not able to contact any of the staff at the embassy. I just don't know what to do. And Brother Nathaniel Urshan, he arranged some things for her, and he got help for her. He arranged for her to get to the embassy, and all was well. Everything was good. Her husband was so grateful. He said, he rang and he thanked Nathaniel Urshan. He said, thank you so much for helping my wife. She was so distressed that day. You don't know what it meant to her as you helped her. And he said, the ambassador said to him, he said, if I can do anything for you, just let me know, please. It just about that time, the United Pentecostal Church International had been trying to find a way to send missionaries to the nation of Ethiopia. That was how God opened the door for the church to be started in Ethiopia. And there was a great revival of more than 1.5 million souls. Amen. Where did it start, church? Where did it start? Did it start in the gifts of the Spirit? No, it started with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, what's the difference between fruit and vegetables? Anybody know? Fruit has seeds. Vegetables don't have seeds. Let me tell you, when you begin to show the fruit of the Spirit, the seed is inside the fruit. And what Brother Urshan didn't realize, he thought he was just loving somebody. He thought he was just showing someone compassion and care. But let me tell you what he was doing. He was sowing seeds. And if you want to see a revival, let me tell you, let there be a revival first and foremost of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Let there be a revival of love, because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I want to tell somebody today, the seed is in the fruit. You say, well, I don't know what to do to fix this relationship. I don't know what to do to fix this family. I don't know what to do to fix my situation at work with my colleague. Let me tell you, the answer is the fruit of the Spirit. Show love, because the seed is in the fruit. When you begin to show love, you don't know what God can do. You don't know what doors God will open. And we saw, because of that simple act of love, one of the greatest revivals in the history of Pentecost. The church grew so strong. Revival broke forth in Ethiopia. But it all started with a simple, humble act of love. Let's all stand this morning. I want to tell somebody, the seed is in the fruit. Oh, I'm trying to find the answer for this. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to work this out. Let me tell you, the seed is in the fruit. The seed is in the fruit, church. If you begin to show this world the fruit of the Spirit, when you begin to show the world the love as Jesus loved us, agape love, sacrificial, unselfish, unconditional love, let me tell you, you're beginning to sow seeds that only God knows what will happen. If you're lost in a situation, there's somebody here today, you're totally overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. I'm here to tell you today, the seed is in the fruit. You begin to show the fruit of the Spirit. And you're planting seeds that God can do great things. Let's lift our hands today. I'm talking about the royal law of love, church. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to be people that love like you loved. Oh, God, help us to be people surrendered to the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, God, help us, oh, God, to love as you loved us. Lord God, help us, oh, God, to find people that come across our path on the road of life, oh, God, that we would show compassion and care and love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Lord, help us to be clothed in love. Lord, help us to be clothed in humility. Help us, oh God, to be clothed in compassion. Help us, oh God, to show love. Hallelujah. Help us, oh God, to love our enemies, oh even Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for this royal law that you have given us, that we are not without your law, oh God, this law of love. Come on, church, let's just pray right now. God is speaking to somebody. Maybe you feel challenged today about a situation. The way you ought to respond is to respond by allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest. Let there be clusters of fruit that are visible to those that are around you. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh God, I want your fruit to be evident in my life. Hallelujah. Who is God calling you to love? Don't underestimate the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you, there is a world that is hungry for people who are going to show real love. There is a world that is hungry for real love. There is a starving generation out there wanting to see people who can be gentle. Wanting people who can be peacemakers. The world is hungry for people who have self-control and don't obey every whim of the flesh. Oh God, I want to be a light in this world. Oh God, I want people to see you in me, oh God. Oh yes, Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray right now. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Oh God, that we'd be people known for love. Let us be rooted and grounded in love. Oh God, Lord, let us, Lord, have the fruit of the Spirit evident in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, this altar's open if you want to come and pray. But right now, I think every single person here ought to find a place to pray just for a few moments and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I've heard your word today. Lord, I've been challenged by your word. Lord God, I want your word to find a resting place in my heart. Oh yes, Jesus.